You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we're looking to you, depending upon you, to help us, and without which we have no help. So help us understand, and that we might be able to withstand. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little study of the exercise of Matthew 13, the parables the Lord gives to understand what's happening on earth before the crucifixion, all the way to the end of the tribulation, when he comes. So he gives us the information by parable of how it's going to go, so we don't have to guess at it. And in the process, we have looked at the parables, the sower and the condition of the heart. Only one out of four was good ground to have any fruit. And the heart. The heart needs to allow the word of God, the seed, to produce fruit. And in the process, the wheat and the tares, the devil sows the tares, the darnel, and it entangles the wheat, so you can't do anything. The system, the world is in the flesh and the world are in the flesh and the world have taken over the wonderful heart, taken over the heart attitude of trusting God. So instead of trusting God, we're trying to trust God in a mixture. The world, the flesh, and God. We're trying to mix the three of them up and survive. Have a little of this and a little of that, etc. And we shared again about the mustard seed. The mustard seed is just a herb, but it becomes a great tree. And thus it becomes an enlargement. So entanglement, enlargement, and then he gives us the parable in chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he to them, unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So he's telling us that something's going to happen. And a woman's going to put in three measures of meal, and it's going to be leavened. The whole of it's going to be leavened, not part of it. The whole of it's going to be leavened. So, having said that, and thinking and having that in your mind, so we're looking at leaven, and leaven is something, a one-cell plant that is called fungi and fungus, plural. And it reproduces spores, molds, etc., parasites, living organisms, enzymes, ferments, and thus in attacks the cells of the flower, etc., and flower and what we're looking at is flour, cells of starch, carbohydrates. All of that, rice, wheat, corn, all kinds of stuff with that starch. And what's it do? When you put leaven in, it goes and changes into sugar. And sugar changes into alcohol. And alcohol changes into carbon dioxide gas. And carbon dioxide gas bubbles up in the wheat dough, what a flour, it bubbles up and expands. And as it expands, the alcohol is evaporated and the yeast is destroyed. But now you have the whole different shape of it. And in order to, not that you need reminding, but just for the sake of it, here is something similar to, though not leaven, like leaven, little leaven, not much. Now, if we can leaven, if we can go and take the dough and leaven it, if we can go and take it, the wheat or whatever flour, then we get this. Now, which would you rather have, this or this, you see? Which would you rather have? Well, you don't want this, the little leaven. I mean, this is what you want. It's leavened. That's what we have in the world. This is how we live. We have an old nature. We're very earthly. We're very earthly, and that's what we live off. We like it. Well, we aren't interested in leaven in that sense. So we'd rather have the, if you get hungry. Now, so looking, here's leaven, and it leavens. And now we're talking about leaven. Leaven, woman's going to throw leaven into the three measures, 4.8 barrels of meal, and approximately bushels, I should say. And you throw it into the meal, the flour. And if you leave it alone, the leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what it does. And if you do that, that's what it's, if you, and, but if you let it, and you have to stop it at the, heat it. If you don't heat it, it kills the alcohol and all of that. But if you didn't heat it and you ferment it too long, it becomes sourdough. Sourdough. You let it go too long, it becomes acidy sourdough. I don't know whether that's sourdough bread, but it's sourdough. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore, and there's all kinds of ways people look at this, enough ways to do it. One is that the gospel comes, Calvinism, and the three measures of meal are the elect, and the three measures of meal are going to make it all come out good in the world. And Calvinism, and Arminianism, you know, the gospel and the church, the believers that are the woman, and they share the gospel in the bread. They put gospel out wherever they live, and everyone gets saved. You remember that? They all get saved. Wow. So they're all looking for the leaven. They're all looking for this stuff to come out wonderful, to come out good. It's be of good cheer. All this is going to work out, the parables, etc. And that's with you. So having said that, but it doesn't fit in reality. It doesn't fit in the light of our world. It doesn't fit in the light of history and where we're going. There's no way on earth that dream, that dreaming, they're all dreaming. But is that what you're saying, God? No, he's not saying that. There's no way. Matthew 13 is telling you it's coming out good. He's telling you it's coming out bad. And he wants you to know that. We're headed to the tribulation. So now, and as we do this, just think in mind, our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the bread. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't this kind of bread. You know the manna that God dropped down, John chapter 6, in the wilderness and fed them. It's unleavened. It's perfect food. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John 6 said, in the light of manna, in the light of the table of showbread in the tabernacle, in the light of who he is, I am the bread of life. If you believe in me, you'll never hunger. I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread, the sinless Son of God. What do we do when we take communion? We take it in unleavened. This is my body. What do you mean, the body? We don't use this for the body. We use leaven, unleavened bread, because he's the sinless Son of God. This is what comes in the world. This is part of what we have in this life. It isn't about this. It's about him. And what's going to happen to him? He's unleavened. Now, and because it is it's only an issue to people that are thinking about the Bible or trying to defend something or say something or whatever they're doing. So we need to see it for what it is. though most people nowadays don't care at all. So, chapter 13, Matthew 11. So now, in order to see it biblically, go with me over, please, to Exodus. Exodus, as you would guess, chapter 12. And in Exodus chapter 12, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 15, remember this is the Passover. The blood is going to be posted on the door. So when the Lamb of God, each house shed the lamb's blood and painted it on the door, the side doors, and painted it over. So when the angel of death passed by, if he saw the blood, he'd go right by. If he didn't see the blood, the death of the firstborn. Now, what was the specific instructions if you're going to show the blood? This is my blood which is shed for you. Our Lord, perfect Son of Man, unleavened, goes to the cross, the sinless Son of God, and dies. He sheds his blood. Therefore, here's the back in the Passover, looking to the cross. He goes, and the lamb, then the bread that they take, how they would do it, verse 15. And this day shall be unto thee, verse 15 directly, I guess. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even the first day shall you put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So, kind of keep reading. Unleavened, you don't have any leaven at all. Verse 19, 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your house. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, whatever you are. Verse 20. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall you eat unleavened bread. You're going to eat unleavened bread, not leavened bread in any way. Verse 34. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, but their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. Now they're going to leave. They don't leave with leavened bread. Normally, that's what they do. They take the flour and leaven it, make it like a regular bread like the tables of showbread, that kind of thing, from a human standpoint. And in the process now, so verse 39. And they baked unleavened bread, unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. They had no food. They're going to go out, boom, out they go, and they don't have any time to prepare lunch. Tomato sandwiches or whatever they're going to do. They don't have any time. They just have to go. But they can't go with leaven, as it were, in their Exodus. So, and having said that, and keep me that in mind, over if I can, chapter 34. Oh, on your way, stop at 23. And in chapter 23, picking up, please, in verse 18, thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. Don't mix leavened bread with blood. In other words, we're going to give to God, because that's what people are thinking about, some people. You're going to give leavened bread. You can't. You're going to pick it up in a second. Chapter 34. Chapter 34 and in verse 25. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. So in other words, we're going to go and understand, you can't go. We're going to read it in a sec. If I can, go with me, Leviticus chapter 2. There's no leaven, and you need to understand it can't be mixed with sacrifices. So you can't offer to God leaven in anything. And therefore, when you come to Leviticus and chapter 7. And in chapter 7, And in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 11. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar, the northward before the Lord and the priest. Aaron's sons shall sprinkle his blood around about the altar. When you do anything on the altar, anything with sacrifice, anything that's connected to bearing witness and evidence of God's wonderful person, you make sure there's no leaven. Jesus is the Son, the sinless Son of God. He's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So, over to chapter 7, in chapter 7, Leviticus, and picking up in verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Verse 13. Besides, now, in addition to what you're looking and sharing with God, it's a thanksgiving offering, and you're saying thank you to God by offering him something, as it were, in sacrifice. That's unleavened. But in the doing of it, verse 13, besides the cakes, besides that which you're going to give to God, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So as he's offering to God the thanksgiving offering unleavened, and that's given to God and the priest, he can also make leavened bread. This goes to God and the priest. This goes to them. They can make leavened bread to eat. There's nothing wrong with that in what he's doing. He's sharing, pointing to Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Now, having said that, so it's a thanksgiving offering in a most wonderful way. So that's what it is. So people say, well, it says leaven is good. No, it doesn't say. You can never, never take it to God. Chapter 2 now in Exodus. And in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 11. No meat offering, 2:11, Leviticus, no meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, no leaven. 4, ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Anything that's going to go to God has no leaven. All those sacrifices were looking and acknowledging the God's saving grace, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, and everything that honors him by fire. If you're going to put it on the altar, that's where everything is consumed for God. You can't have any leaven there. You're honoring God, you're knowing, you understand, and you're going to go and keep the leaven away. It's one thing for you to eat leavened bread at home. It's another thing for you to come before God with thanksgiving and offer him whatever you're going to do, whatever your offering is. Now, having said that little bit, and so that in chapter 7 we read, and in chapter 23 is the, again, you can have leaven, again, at the Feast of Pentecost, harvest, Feast of Pentecost, and you can eat bread, you can give leaven, and you can eat bread. Those are the two places, Leviticus 7, Leviticus 23. That's it. Well, you can do this. They're told they can do it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so the whole point then of all objectively looking at Scripture, looking at Matthew 13, it's all about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven when the kingdom is absent and everything's there. God is God, but it isn't looking very good. It isn't coming out very good. What happened to the king and the kingdom, as we shared? So now, over to Genesis and chapter 3. And you're going to remember what's the whole point, as you'll see. Genesis and chapter 3. And may I pick up, please, in thought, reminding you. Now, what's the whole point? Doctrine, teaching, hang on to that. And leaven. Leaven comes in and corrupts God in his person. Jesus Christ is on the bread of heaven, unleavened, pure Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:1, is the Word of God. John 1:14, he is the Word become flesh. What is the devil doing? What are we saying in the parable? We're corrupting what? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. We're corrupting the Word. Hang on. You're corrupting the Word. Corrupting truth. You're corrupting the Bible truth. Now, this is at square one. You know it. Genesis 3:1. You can read. And right in the middle of the verse, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, hath God said? That's the first thing. Challenge God. Question God. God. We're going to corrupt God's word. That's what we've got to do. Leaven has to get into the word to corrupt it. That's what happens. When it gets in, the starch, the leaven gets in, turns it to sugar, alcohol, carbon dioxide, and boom. You don't have the bread anymore. You got all these little bubbles inside that you don't have and with unleavened bread. Now, so therefore, verse 1, the Spirit of God, the devil goes and counters, I said, should counter God's word. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So we're not only going to corrupt, we're going to confuse. So the whole point of leaven, the whole point of the devil's attack against God, the Word, and the Word of God, you've got to believe faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to counter God, has really said that. And then we're going to read, like in verse 4, we're going to confuse you. What does it say? What does it mean? Is Calvinism right? Is Arminianism right? Is John Gill right? Who knows right? Or who knows what? What does that mean? What does revelation mean, you see? And we got that. Now, hang on. So we got that. So the devil's going to go and counter, confuse. Verse 5. For God doth know that the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. And remember, only God, Elohim, there's no gods yet, unto God and evil. That doesn't mean demons aren't there, but there's no gods. In Adam and Eve have no zero sense of gods. Of God they do, but not of gods. No, they don't even know what idolatry. There's no idolatry. There isn't any. No, at that point. So now, at verse 5, so God, you're going to go and counter and confuse and corrupt and challenge and purify. You're going to go and invade the understanding of Adam and Eve about God. And to be, well, we can be like God. God knows good and evil. We should know good and evil. I mean, wow. And so we have that kind of condition. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, that he's going to follow through. He's going to show it all the religions of the world, the philosophies, they're all there with all of their whatever. And as we shared this morning, the gods of yesterday, where lots of gods were understood and looked to and prayed to, and wars were fought over them, they're gone. We're in a end of the age, which is what we're looking at, the end of the age. And so therefore, here they are looking, and the world is there. Who is the people that should most understand God? Where the world isn't going to confuse God's Bible. They don't even know the Bible. They don't even open the Bible. Well, then, where's the source of confusing going to come? Because it isn't coming from people that don't read the Bible. It's going to come from people that are reading the Bible. So therefore, who is that? That's Judah, Jews. The Jews, the Bible, the Old Testament, the Jews. That's what they did. That doesn't mean other people didn't have it. But the Jews have it. So God, the devil's going to attack. He attacked Adam and Eve. He attacks the Jews. Use the Jews. You can't use the Gentiles. They're already into idolatry. Therefore, over if you would please, to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 16. John and chapter 16. And you will note, I said John, didn't I? Good, I knew what I said. It's Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And chapter 16 of Matthew, picking up, if I may, in verse 1. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show him a sign from heaven, etc. And remember, he said you in verse 3, it is the morning, and it is in the morning it will be foul weather today, for you see the sky is red, and lowering, O ye hypocrites, you shall. How you can discern the face of the sky, the weather, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given it. Think of this morning. No sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now, so having said that, down to verse 6. And they reason. Now, verse 5. And when his disciples were come and to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread, this kind of bread. They forgot the bread. Now he's going to help them. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So here we're looking at humans thinking, humans understanding. And of God. And so here's the Pharisees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? That they didn't understand what he was saying. Verse 8. But when Jesus perceived and said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? In other words, you're making an issue about no bread. And God isn't making an issue about no bread. That's no problem. Verse 9. Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither, verse 7 loaves, he did it again, of the 4,000, and all the time the women and children to add to those. Neither the loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand, verse 11, that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? There's a bread. There's another kind of food, another thing. You're feeding off of God's word. God's word, God's word, that's what we do. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Go, God. We're looking, and God is honoring his word. We feed on his word. He's the bread. He's the bread of life. Now, verse 12. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but beware of the doctrine, so you know, leaven doctrine. So you don't have to guess. He's talking about truth, understanding God's word. They knew that. They got that. They got it. Not whether Mr. Pharisee had a bakery somewhere. So now, therefore, in verse 12, they understood. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, what do we know? What do we know about the doctrine of the Pharisees? Well, the Pharisees, and without taking time to look at all that, perhaps, without taking time, the Pharisees are what? They're very formal, they're very external. And a good Pharisee, a sincere Pharisee, every day is reading the Torah and all of that, Mishnah and all of those things, and he's doing his thing. He breaks his egg. It breaks his egg in a certain way in order to follow the law. They have all the rules of eating and everything, and they do it rigidly. They do it. And they keep doing it. That's what they're want to be perfect. They want to have a righteousness that is flawless, which they can't do. But they're doing everything rightly, as much as they understand it. It's an external thing. External. We have that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, maybe. Knowing this, that in the last days, there's a form of godliness, but denying the reality of it. It's not a look religious and look good. It has no reality to it. No reality. Pharisees. Busy with their doctrine. That's the thing, the leaven of the doctrine. And the Pharisees are doing that, and they have no sense of reality and no enjoyment of any of that. Now, so they're the Pharisees and the hypocrites. That's what they do. They make a profession of relationship, but they have no reality. That's a doctrine. And they pushed it. The Pharisees crucified Christ, and the Jews honored them. The Jews, Pharisees, he should be die, and they all said, crucify him. So, in their hypocrisy. So now comes the Sadducees, and the Sadducees are rationalists. They reason. Reason, yes. Revelation, no. We reason. Remember, it infiltrated our 1800s and that. That's what changed our country. Came from Europe, France, I guess, whatever, over and corrupted churches, missions, everything. Rationalism, reason. It doesn't make sense. It isn't fit. It's not reasonable, and they don't honor revelation, which has nothing to do with your reason. It has to do with God's wonderful ability to be God. Revelation. So here's the Sadducees, and the Sadducees are there, and they're doing what they're doing. And they feed out, and over, as you would know, Matthew 22, you're here. I should have done that with Pharisees too. Matthew chapter 22, picking up, please, in verse 23. The same day, 22:23. The same day they came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him. They don't believe in a resurrection. He's the resurrection of life. They don't believe. And what else did he tell them without doing that whole thing? Sliding down, verse chapter 22 to verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You guys are ignorant. You're unbelieving. Doctrine. Leaven of the Pharisees, leaven, if you would, of the Sadducees. They deny a relationship. You really don't have to have a personal relationship to God. If he is, you don't have to have a relationship to him. Huh, that's not true. But got that. And then we have Herod. And we have Herod. And in Mark, if you read that, and Mark adds Pharisees and Herod. Herod, the doctrine of Herod, the leaven of Herod. What's the leaven of Herod? It's worldliness. Worldliness. We get caught up in the world system, and we want to fit into the world system. We want to make sure we got good bread. This leaven business isn't good. This bread, we like this bread. We can sell this bread. We can't sell leaven. We can't sell the son, sinless Son of God. Who wants him? We can get leaven. And by my leaven, you got it. Now, having said that, so we got Sadducees, Pharisees, Herod, Herodians. What do they got? They're all leaven. That's what leaven. So we don't have to guess. We aren't looking at wonderful, everyone's going to get saved. We're going to give everyone a little dab, a little virus shot to get saved. And they're all going to be good guys. That's Calvinism and Arminianism and all the rest of it. All of it's all over the place. And that's what we got going. That's what people are doing. And they do it. And you wonder why. Because what are you saying, God, in your parable, chapter 13, verse 33? The woman is going to insert three measures of leaven. Leaven into three measures of flour. And the whole lump is going to get fed. So when I travel down the corridor, here we are now trying to get people to read and think and understand the Bible. We understand it in 15 different ways. And you can't understand it in 15 different ways because it isn't meant to be understood in 15 different ways. God didn't mean that's 15 different things I did on the cross. Pick one of them. There is no picking. It's one. I am the only way, the only truth to the Father, etc. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so the end, doctrine is going to be, where are we going to find doctrine? And in the process, doctrine. Now, here we are, on all those different things at the end, you see, it's all wonderful. It doesn't matter about what they believe or what they think. A little bit of that, isn't it a little good? It says a little good. Little good. The water's very good. It just has a little bit of bad stuff in it. It's just a drop. But it's good. Isn't it good? Look at all the water. That's what they're saying. And that's what we say. We don't even mean to say it. But what difference does it make? Well, they're whatever they are. No, you can't be whatever you are. If you're letting that corrupt you, leaven leaveneth the what? The whole lump. You leave the leaven in, and it does the whole thing. It doesn't do part of it unless you can get it out quickly. It's going to get all of you. It's the law. Leaven is an attacking the starch in your system. It's attacking it with power, and powerful, and that's what it does. And it gets us, so we're going to overcome. No, you aren't. The little hole in the dam is going to keep getting bigger. It's not going to go away. Wow. So now, having said that, we're going to go to the other side of the coin, over to Zechariah. Zechariah, if I can. And in Zechariah chapter 5, picking up if I can. And remember Zechariah chapter 1 is going to go. And he has, just like Daniel chapter 2, the Media Persia, the head, Babylon gold, Media Persia, Russia, Greece, Russia. And he does the same thing in Zechariah chapter 1. So now, having said that, you got the same movement and in the days of Zechariah. And therefore, what else are you going to tell? Here's the remnant, Ezra and Nehemiah. What are they going to do? They need to understand. They only got a little temple. It isn't very big and not much. And it isn't like the Solomon's temple. And it isn't going to suffice. But we got something, a little thing. So therefore, Zechariah, God's going to help the people that believe to understand how it's going. So therefore, chapter 6, if I can, in verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. I want you to pay attention, Zechariah, to see what's happening. Then God puts it in front of him so he can look at it like a film, like a picture, like to see it. What is he going to see? Verse 6. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah. Think of a bushel, as it were, 1.6 bushels, whatever it is, 1. Whatever. Sliding up again. What is it? Verse 6. This is an ephah that goeth forth. In other words, a measure of dry measure of grain, wheat, that goeth forth. He saith moreover, This is their resemblance through all the earth. In other words, something's happening all over. What is that? Verse 7. Behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. Talent of lead, talent, largest weight, probably 75 pounds. Here's a lead, circular. Here's a circular dish, 75 pounds of lead. We got that. And the angels see that, so therefore. Verse 7, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is the woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. See, here's a bushel basket or so, big basket, and when he takes the lid off, that big piece of circular lead, he lifts it off so Zechariah can look. And what does he see? He doesn't see any flour. He doesn't see any wheat. He sees a woman. That's what he sees. He sees a woman in there sitting down, and the lid, when the cover's lifted off, you can see her. Hang on. In the midst of verse 8, and he said, this is wickedness. What's wickedness? This woman is wickedness. She's wickedness. Hang on. Where did the leaven come from to the three measures of in Matthew 13, from the woman. Woman, thumbs down, bad, bad, bad. It isn't men. How did Adam sin? No offense to anybody, it's just the reality. How did Adam sin? He didn't take of the dumb tree, she did. And he didn't look at the tree, he looked at her and she smiled. She smiled and said, do you know, I have from the tree. And it looks pretty good, doesn't it? And it'll make us like God. Wow! And Adam wasn't looking at, he wasn't paying attention. He got his eyes on the, you know, and he got his eyes on the woman, Eve, understandably, and they both ate, didn't they? That's what they did. The woman, what's it say in Timothy? Adam was not deceived. The woman was. The woman was deceived. Who was guilty? Adam, the man. Here's the marriage. The man. The man is the source, not the woman. He's the problem. He's the source. Adam is the source of sin. In Adam we all, not in Eve, in Adam we all die, not in Eve. Adam is the source. He should have known better, but he followed the woman. The woman does it. Think of all the Christian Science, Mary Baker, Grover Patterson Eddy, all those different groups. Who started them? Women. 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 They started them. Okay, now watch it though. In verse 8, and he said, this is wickedness, and he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight and lead upon the mouth thereof. In other words, he put the cover back down, a lead cover. And then what happened? Verse 9. Then lifted up I mine eyes, and lo, and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork. Stork is an unclean bird. The two women were like wings, had wings like a stork, and they lifted up the ephah. They picked it up, the basket, between the earth and the heaven, and they carried the basket. Where did they carry the basket? Verse 10. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they flying? Where are they going to go with this woman in the basket? All women pushing it. Verse 11. And he said unto me, to build an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now, what do you know? The Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. The Tower of Babel, scattered. Genesis 10, chapter 10, verse 10, etc. Nimrod, the kingdom of Nimrod. What does the kingdom of Nimrod involve? Babel, the city, in the land of what? Shinar. That's what you got. Where is she going to take the basket? To the land of Shinar, to where the Babylon is. What do we know about Babel, Babylon? We know what? Well, Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold, as we shared last time or so. He's the head of gold. He's the top. He's the highest, bestest world system that ever could be in a bad way, in a good and a bad way. Now, but is Babylon at the top of the head, slide all the way down to the legs of iron, Rome, to the feet of iron and clay, to the toes, 10 toes of iron and clay. And what have we got again? Babylon, the 10 nations. Revelation, go over there for a sec. You'll see it, you know it. But put it together. Revelation and the chapter 18. And you'll notice chapter 18. And what are we talking about in Zechariah? Commercial, materialism. We aren't talking about the gods. We're talking about money, business, power, position. That's what we're talking about. What is it all about now? Why can't we just get companies to fix things here in this country? Because they're getting most of their business from China and other parts of the world. It's money. That's why they don't... Money, it's money. Why not? The stock investors don't want to have no money. So the company goes and invests in all of it, and they won't change. They're caught. They're caught in the commercialism. That's what Zechariah 5 is about. Commercialism. Revelation chapter 18. Commercialism. Materialism. Read it. Chapter 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils or demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, even the storks. Wow. And therefore, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. All about the judgment of Babylon. In the end, what he started, the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. They didn't quit. They have it. After Genesis 6, did they quit? No, they went to Genesis 11 and did the whole thing over again, adding religion and politics and materialism. And you got all of that commercial, all of it's there. Awesome. In order to go with commercialism, chapter 17, you've got religion. You've got all the religion we just did. Oh, we're going to get all the different churches and all the different doctrine. It's everywhere. They all, Methodists and Baptists, nothing, no offense, anybody. Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, and Catholics, and every Jews and Islam, we're all there. We're all there. The World Council of Churches. Uh-huh. So we got the religion and the commercial, and they go together, Revelation 17 and 18. God, what are you saying? The woman is going to sow leaven into the dough, and the whole dough is going to get corrupt. I'm going to take the church home, believers, at any moment, and that mess is going to keep going. That's what it's going to do. It's not going away. It's not going to get good. It's going to head right smack and confront God by way of the Antichrist, chapter 17 and chapter 18. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, over to two places. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope you're getting a little bit. It's a lot, maybe. Do you understand? Materialism and corruption. To corrupt what? The truth. So that you don't know what is really true. And isn't that good? Because the Methodist has to say, well, the World Council of Churches, what are we going to do if we're in the meeting? We got everybody that believes from up, down, and down is up, and up everything else. And we're all going to get along, right? We're all going to get along. You believe that green is red, and you believe that red is green. And we'll get along. We don't need to know what's right. We just need to care. Social, financial, the need, care for the people, and do it. That's what we got. So we got that. That's where we are. So therefore, Matthew chapter 5, remember now the sin, adultery, fornication, all of that. Fornication and all of that. And the Corinthians needed to deal with it. And they need to deal with it. It's just a little sin, but you'll let it go. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth, verse 6, the what? The whole lump. Don't you know if you don't catch this, it's going to get you. It's going to get you. Because if you let the little hole in the dam go, it's going to become another bigger hole, and the dam is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker, and more holes, and the dam's going to go. So therefore, don't you know, if you don't get this guy and get him fixed, purge out, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, you as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or badness or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We need to look to God and do this right. And they needed to fix it. They didn't fix it. They needed to fix it. They just didn't do it. It just grew. It grew. So you want to know why? Here's Greece, here's southern Greece, here's Turkey, Ephesus, and all the seven churches. What happened to Turkey, the country, with all those churches? And you couldn't find. I don't know what it is, if it's still true. I think it was true. You couldn't find a church. A believer. And that doesn't mean they weren't believers. They couldn't meet. They didn't have a church. What happened to them all? They all died. They all died. They didn't fix anything. You got to fix. Revelation, Laodicea, you don't fix it, it's all going to go. So therefore, in closing, you got that part a little bit. I hope you got a little bit to see it. Is God telling you what's going to happen? And he said, don't sit there and get seduced. Don't let your mind get corrupted. But doctrine, and you think, well, what's wrong with that view? See? And this is my view. And we got all kinds of views. And you have your view, and you have your view. You better know what God's view is and stay with it. Because all of that means that you don't want to get it straight. What else are you going to get crooked? If you don't want to fix that truth, every truth is connected, isn't it? Isn't all truth connected to the person? And the Lord Jesus said, all the Bible is about me. I'm the bread of life. Do you understand? But can I play with Zechariah? Can I play with Revelation? Sure you can. You can do whatever you want with it. But when you're all done, you've just fed leaven in your mind and heart into one section, and that leaven is going to go to the rest of it. Because if you believe that, you only get strong when you're staying straight down the corridor, and you get stronger and stronger and straighter. It's easier. You don't get weaker, and you don't get stupid. You get smarter. You don't get deceived, like we read in Sunday school, and discern, to discern good and evil. Well, I need to discern that in Hebrews. Now, so over in closing, Galatians. Thank you for your patience. Galatians in chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, you remember, sliding down if I can, in the light of it all, to verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who told you you didn't have to run? Who told you you didn't have to really think right and do right? Who told you something different? Doctrine. Leaven. Who leavened you? Who fed you leaven? Verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It isn't from God. Knowing what? All the rule. What's the rule? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And once it gets in, it's going to take the whole thing. Leaven is aggressive, and it has no morals. It just... and makes it all leavened. And the only way you do is fire. Fire stops the leaven. Gets rid of the alcohol and gets rid of the yeast. Fire does. Wow. Anyway, got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. God, what do we got to do? Watch the leaven. Be careful. I am the bread of life, what we started with. Pure, unleavened bread. Don't leaven. Don't let leaven get into your understanding of our Lord Jesus. Back to what we said, all the scripture speaks of whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He says it, John 5 and Luke 24 and all of those things. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they're all about me. Matthew 17 and 8 and that. Moses and Elijah. Is it Moses, the law? Elijah, the prophets? No. Verse 8. They saw Jesus only. God is the center of the book. God is the center of it all. And therefore, don't get anything that gets you sidetracked, as we shared the other day, from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't let someone say, well, what difference does it make what I think about that? Because it's part of God's word that points to him. It's his word about him. So if I can corrupt that, I can corrupt what's going to do to him. So my understanding of Jesus Christ is reduced. And I will get more and more. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. I know it isn't. It's wonderfully comforting, actually, you know. If I don't tell you, if you don't know what it is, then you'd have to worry about what. You hear something in the news, hear this, and you wonder about this and wonder about that. And I don't know. And then you wait for the next news announcement to depress you. And then you read that, and you know, and you're, God, what about this? And isn't it good to know what's going on? And that's how you're encouraged. God tells you. I'm telling you, God said, I'm going to help you understand the parables. They're wonderful. And God help us. Anyway, we'll pray. Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. Thank you very, very, very much. God, we just stumble through all this, and it's wonderful, wonderful things. So help us in every way. And God, we're going to thank you in Christ Jesus. Thank you for being the bread of life. Thank you for being life. God, uncorrupted life, eternal life. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.